Hey, I am MN Murad, and this is the Leap Podcast. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Leap Podcast. Today, I want to talk a little bit about something that I've been asked to talk about for quite a while now. So why not? Let's dive into this. A lot of people have asked me about my decision, deciding to leave my corporate job and choosing to pursue personal training full time. So I think it'll be quite nice to break it down and to talk to you about the pros and cons of making this decision so that if anyone hearing this decides to do so, they're going in with a more clear idea of what to expect and how to approach this life, if ever. When I first started in this field, in the fitness field, I was one of the first in the region to decide to be a full-time trainer. At the time, a lot of people considered it to be a hobby, but not a career. And to be completely honest, it kind of sucked because I had no one to ask about these things. Like, I had no one to take advice from. I didn't know the tips and tricks in the industry. I kind of like made up rules as I went along and I winged it. So before I leap into anything, I need to tell you a little bit about my background and what I studied and did for a living post-graduation. I got a bachelor's degree in multimedia design. And for those of you who don't know, it's basically graphic design, animation, filmmaking, typography, and things like logo and branding. And I decided to focus on that after finishing my bachelor's, naturally, right? I will do what I studied. I got my first 9-to-5 job. Everything was great, except no one prepares you for being a graphic designer. No one prepares you for that life. I used to get calls in the middle of the night with requests saying like, oh, Emel, we need you to design an invitation to be sent out tomorrow morning. So just like that, you know, I had to work. The salary was great, yes, except I was losing my social as well as my personal life in the process. I didn't have time for my family, for my other interests, and I really felt trapped for the most part, which after speaking to many people, I realized a lot of people felt the same way. Fast forward less than 6 months later, yes, 6 months, I got an offer from another job and I quit because the other job had less hours, great benefits like tuition for my children, bonuses every year, a round ticket to London. And surprisingly, I lasted almost 3 years in that place before calling it quits. The issue I had is I lost my why. I remember going to a meeting with HR and they asked me, Emel, how do you see yourself grow in the company? And sadly, I couldn't care less about becoming a manager or any higher position for that matter. And that was concerning because it wasn't right that I didn't care about improving or wanting to learn or to be better at my job or the fact that I didn't care about going anywhere really. On the other hand, I was also studying to become a personal trainer at the time because I felt like the gym was a place where I always had goals, and I always felt like I pushed myself a little bit more every day. Now, I personally don't like the whole quote that goes, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life, because in my opinion, that's a lie. Entrepreneurship is so glamorized, in my opinion, on freaking social media. I am a firm believer that you don't even have to turn your passion into a career. You can do what you love and you don't need to make money out of it for it to be valid. Just wanted to put that out there. This whole become a hustler, work hard, play hard mentality is so not my thing, because something that I learned is that if I can live a comfortable life, that's enough for me. But comfortable means different things to different people. The kind of comfortable that I lived when I had a full-time job is very much different than the kind of comfortable that I live now. Comfortable with a corporate job was that I had a stable income. I knew that I would get money by the end of the month. I felt secure. I felt safe. I knew that after I retire, I'll have pension money that will keep me going when I'm older. That was the comfortable that kept me sane. However, the comfortable that I feel now is that I get to choose what I want to do. Not all the time, if I may add. Sometimes you have to do things you don't like so that you can make an income. But at the end of the day, I still am somewhat able to choose what works for me. And I'm still able to have a flexible enough schedule to see my daughter a little bit more. So these are very two different definitions of the word comfortable. To be very transparent with you all, I quit my job when I was single. But honestly speaking, if it were during this time in my life, I probably would have stayed in my job or would have thought 1,000 times before making this decision. So timing was super important, I believe. I had a little bit more luxury at the time. You know, I used to live with my parents. The only loan I had was a car loan, which I settled before quitting. But other than that, I had the flexibility to try different things without the added pressures of life. I feel like if I had already been married like I am now with a baby who has just started school and a home mortgage, I definitely would have taken a little bit more time to make that decision. However, it doesn't mean it's impossible, but definitely would have been harder. So that's why sometimes when I see someone early in their life and they don't have that much responsibilities, I'm assuming, and they're questioning whether they should pursue something different, I'm like, what's holding you back? Go for it. Don't settle. This is the best time for you to explore. But like I said, it needs planning and somewhat a clear idea of how you can make it work. For the longest time when I used to work at my corporate job, I worked two jobs, basically. I finished my graphic design life and then I went to the gym and I coached several classes. The only time I decided to fully leave was when I was able to survive on the money I made being a personal trainer apart from my salary from my corporate job. That's when I felt confident enough to take that step. Keep in mind that the things I'm telling you today is very much from my own experience. But I want you to know that it is different to different people. And I'm just telling you what I've learned throughout my own journey. So don't take things too literally. When I became a personal trainer, my focus was on a sport called parkour. The reason why I was so passionate about teaching this specific sport was because there weren't any classes for women to begin with. So I would be the only person giving classes to women in the region. And although having your niche is great, to some extent, it kind of backfired at the beginning for me. Because I was teaching a sport that nobody has ever heard of, number one. And number two, it was male-dominated. And number three, the gym culture for girls in the region was very much set. Everyone knew girls liked HIIT, liked yoga, spinning, Pilates, dance. Yet here I was with baggy clothes, literally jumping from obstacle to obstacle and very much looking like a child at a playground. So my first step was I need to make parkour cool. And for me to do that, I needed to create content that'll make girls want to learn, but to also show them that it's fun. I remember when I first started, I only had 3 girls who were constantly coming to my classes. And although it was a very low number, these 3 girls made all the difference because they were the first people that believed in me. That was amazing because they were consistent enough that I was able to show them results, but to also show other people that it's possible and how much they're progressing. So really, they were my ambassadors. So what started with 3 girls ended up being 6 girls after 8 months, and it ended up being 10 girls after 2 years. And only after 4 years of consistently giving classes and putting content out there was when I started getting almost 20 plus girls in class. But during these 4 years, I needed to be the best at what I'm doing and I needed to continuously learn and be educated so I could help women in fitness in general and not just in parkour. Do you know the saying that goes, jack of all trades, master of none, but oftentimes better than a master of one? That is exactly what I needed to do. I live by this quote. For the longest time, I was taught that being a generalist was a bad thing, that you always needed to be specialized. And yes, to some extent, I do agree, but what makes you different, especially what I've realized in my own career, is that if I have more things under my belt, the more I could help women. So in my 4 years, I started out by being a general personal trainer, and then I got specialized in parkour, got specialized in calisthenics. And then after I became a mom, I decided to get specialized in pregnancy and postpartum. And for me, that is what makes me different, I believe. I don't think I ever want to settle with just one thing, because women's lives are continuously changing. So I need to be able to help them in all of the phases. When you are an entrepreneur or a freelancer, you don't have the luxury of being mediocre. You cannot just get by being average, unfortunately. You have to continuously improve so that you leave a mark, so that you are memorable in the market and people always come back to you or refer other people to you in the industry. I always felt there was a disconnect between women and their knowledge about their own bodies. It's always us needing to go out and to search on our own, but it's never really been taught to us, not even in schools or in university. So I became what I needed, you know. I found what's missing in the market and I tried to fill that, you know, void. And I feel like it's very unfortunate because people don't realize that we could be the solution. You don't necessarily have to look for one, but you can be one. And I personally didn't want to be the personal trainer that didn't know how to help a woman. Like if someone came to me and they just gave birth, I don't want to be like, oh, I don't know how to help you. Go find someone else and come back to me. No, I wanted to be someone who is knowledgeable enough that I could help them in all their phases during the process and even after. To me, personal training is not just about, you know, the good vibes and the weight loss. It goes way beyond that. And it's my responsibility to make sure that I'm delivering to the best of my abilities content as well as work that will end up being my legacy. I left my job because I didn't feel like I wanted to progress. I left my job because I was indifferent about what I was doing. It was all about the salary. However, right now, it's kind of the opposite. I feel like the more merit you have in your job, the more that you want to give back to the community, that is when you thrive. But keep in mind, it needs consistency and constant development and compromise. I remember when I first started, I had to compromise a lot. Things that seemed kind of trivial, but back in the day when I was still a very young adult and all my friends were going out and shopping and going to expensive dinners, I couldn't do that. I stayed at home because it was cheaper and I couldn't afford that. My life was unpredictable. Every month I had a different salary. There are months I make more money than my old job and there are months I get zero clients. So I learned how to take it day by day, but to also manage my money much more, because I didn't know when my next paycheck was going to be. And you start realizing very early on that if you don't adapt to the times, you'll end up not surviving. To me, the biggest smack in the face was when Corona happened, because all the gyms closed down. I was relying too much on one-on-one classes and face-to-face that I realized I took a big hit because I didn't know what else to do during that time. I had no choice. So what I did is that I started creating online programs to be purchased. I started selling merchandise and clothing. I started collaborating with other, you know, professionals in the field and other entrepreneurs. And even now I started my own podcast, and only now do I realize that you can't just depend on one thing. You have to always be innovating and always learning how to be better and to have a better reach and how to expand your business and your brand. And this is not to shame anyone or to make anyone feel like they're not capable, but this life is definitely not for everyone. It gets very lonely at times. And a lot of times you won't have the answer right away. And it's trial and error. And it's a lot of failure before you get one win. So if there's advice that I could give you if you ever chose to pursue personal training or even a life of an entrepreneur, I'll sum it up to these practical tips. Number one, practice discipline. What's good about entrepreneurship is that you don't have a choice but to make it work. I think when I had a full-time job, I was relying on that salary. So I didn't give entrepreneurship my all. I didn't try to make my other business work because I knew that I would get money regardless. But when you have that taken out of the equation, you don't really have a choice, if you get what I mean. Number two, find your niche, but also be a jack of all trades. Keep in mind, that doesn't mean you should talk about things you don't know about. I think that definitely hurts your credibility. And a lot of people pretend to know everything. And that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you could use your other skills to your advantage. For example, me as a graphic designer background, I did my own logo. I did my own website. I even create certain packaging for a lot of the companies that I work with, even when it has to come down to fitness. I feel like this adds a little bit more to what I'm capable of giving or bringing to the table. So don't be afraid to, you know, use all your assets. Number three, don't limit yourself to one medium. Oh my God, for the longest time, I was stuck on Instagram. But when Corona hit, I realized there is so much potential on other platforms. So now I'm like, doing podcasts, I'm on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, I have my own website, and the list will keep growing. Number four, collaborate as much as you can. It is not all about the competition. There's so much I think you can learn from other people, and it'll also help you be innovative as well. Number five, last but not least, know your value and your worth. For the longest time, I was shy to even ask for money when people asked for projects. But that's why you should have a clear idea of who you are, what you stand for, and how you want to be perceived and treated in the industry. And yeah, that's about it. I hope this gives you a clear idea of what to expect with leaving your corporate job to pursue something, specifically personal training in my case. But if you want to know a little bit more and want to reach out and have a much clearer conversation, feel free to talk to me via email or even through my Instagram handle at leap.of.hope. But until we leap again, see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Leap Podcast. Make sure to subscribe and tune in. Also, don't forget to leave a rating and review and share it with your friends. It'll make it easier for people to find the show and to also learn from it. Your support means a lot. You can find me on Instagram at leap.of.hope or feel free to contact me via email, ml@leapofhope.fit. I am your host, Amel Murad, and this podcast is brought to you by Dukan Media. Thank you and keep leaping.